Maybe if we have kids, we have lots of distractions going around. But when we can tune in and to be more mindful of, like, what are we actually putting into our body? How does it make me feel? Am I even aware when I am full? Most of us, and I like to think of 80% full.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, Mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, Mama. Let's overcome together. Hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mom Method podcast. This is your host and intuitive life mentor, Jenna Smith, and today we are joined by a phenomenal woman who wears multiple hats in the health and wellness arena. Dr. Michelle Reekman is not only a personal trainer, yoga teacher, and health coach, but she also holds a doctorate in physical therapy. Her passion for holistic well-being and empowering women to embrace a healthier lifestyle, it's truly inspiring. She is the host of the Healthy Beyond 40 podcast, and she dedicates herself to guiding women through the transformative journey of nourishing their bodies, optimizing their metabolism, and shedding that unwanted weight, all without resorting to restrictive diets. Her approach is grounded in the belief that a simple lifestyle and those simple lifestyle changes that can be a catalyst for significant transformations. So get ready to get inspired as we explore with her today, just with her insights on making those sustainable changes for a healthy, happier, and more fulfilling life. So let's jump into the conversation and get to know you, Michelle. I want to pass over the mic and just share with us a little bit more about you, your personal journey, and kind of what shaped your approach to where you are today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So I am also a mom of four, and I really found after I had my third child, I was struggling with my health. Life was just busy, and it was hard to get everything done. And like a lot of women, I find we don't prioritize ourselves. We put ourselves on the back burner. And so I was going up a flight of stairs and getting out of breath and was like, whoa, I'm like way too young for this. Like if I'm like this in my 30s, like what is 60 going to look like? So it went back to the idea, like going up a flight of stairs doesn't take long. Like I don't have to work out for long. So I started with 10-minute workouts. I started just tweaking my nutrition where I started to eat healthier, more whole foods without trying to follow a diet plan. And I started to get back in shape. I started to feel better without this all consuming diet plan or something crazy. And it was just by making these simple tweaks. So that's what I love to do with women. And I think as women, like life is busy and there's all these other things that affect us, that affect what we do and don't do in our health. So if we are too busy, if we are too stressed, if we are not sleeping well, all that affects what we're going to do or not do when it comes to eating or exercise. So I really like to take this holistic look at people, all these different areas and what's really going on and where do they need to focus? And back to that idea of how can we keep this simple so that we can actually start accomplishing these things.
Totally. And just kind of like diving deeper into like some tangible pieces, like how has being with your family and growing your family and those life experiences kind of diving deep into how that influenced your perspective.
Yeah. So for me, like, and I like to do this with my clients is like, what is your like vision like for your health 5 years, even like 30 years down the road? Like when I am in my 60s and 70s, I want to be moving well and feeling good. So backtrack that. What does that mean? Like, I need to be taking care of my body now. Like, I need to be fueling it well. I need to be exercising. I need to be gaining muscle and feeling good. And also the very practical things, like I want to be able to go out on a hike with my family and not be the last one dragged behind. Like, I want to be able to do and experience life and feel good. And it comes back to that first place. I have to take care of my body. I have to take care of my health. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does have to be a priority because a lot of people were just like not prioritizing themselves. And then when we go to think about our kids, it's like, I want my kids to be healthy too. And of course, my kids eat a lot more sugar than I do. It was like just Valentine's Day here, and they came home with a bunch of candy. Like, I'm not gonna control every aspect, but I want them to start understand what does it mean to eat more healthy food? What does it mean to limit a little bit of the sugar and sweets and realize like you can't eat a ton of sweets or you're gonna develop diabetes? Like we do see happening to some family members and to have that open discussion, but to come back to take care of our bodies and teach them to take care of their bodies from a really loving standpoint.
That's a really good point too, of like encompassing the whole diet culture, right? Like you think Valentine's Day, what does your first thought go to? Chocolates, candies, you know, I'm sure other things too, but like as little kids, it's like the candy always. So kind of breaking free, you know, because a big piece of yours is like breaking free from that diet culture, you know, not having restriction. So that could be challenging kind of in today's society. So kind of how can you create this turning point in like, let's say, mindset with your clients?
Yeah, it comes back to the idea of tuning into our body and being mindful. And we can't do that if we're having sugar cravings. Like sugar is highly addictive. Like there's been some studies where like rats have gone for the sugar versus like the hard drugs, like cocaine. Like
Oh my
it is,
gosh.
it's, I know. Yeah, it is very addicting. So if our body is thinking we want sugar, like that is more of an addiction, but we have to come to a place where we can actually start to tune into our body and know what it needs. And like simple things, like if I go out for a walk, like I love learning, so I love listening to podcasts, but I have to stop myself and tune in. Like, do I actually want to learn right now? Do I need nothing on, like walking in silence? Do I need to listen to music? Do I need to go with a friend? Like, tuning into your body because there is wisdom in it and what it needs to do. So it's the same thing when we go to eat. We need to be out of the sugar cravings to really be able to listen to our body. But what do we need? It might be that we actually want broccoli or something. We might know that we need more chicken or protein or something that helps us to feel full longer. I'm really teaching people how to be more mindful around eating because so many of us, we just walk into the kitchen, grab a bag of chips, and we're eating, and we don't even know how much we ate. It's very mindless because we have our phones. We have, maybe if we have kids, we have lots of distractions going around. But when we can tune in and to be more mindful of, like, what are we actually putting into our body? How does it make me feel? Am I even aware when I am full? Most of us, and I like to think of 80% full because when we're 100% full, we don't feel good. We ate too much. But we have to be really mindful to know of when is that 80% full, when I can still feel good. I can get up and walk around after I eat because that's when we need to stop. But if we're just watching TV or scrolling on our phone, we are not aware of any cues that are going on in our body.
I really love how you bring that in. And I just love this approach because, like, mindfulness, who would have thought, you know, mindfulness with nutrition, you know, but like mindfulness, it could be a buzzword sometimes, you know what I mean? So, to really what you said, like, come back home and in a sense, like being in tune with yourself to listen to yourself. And that's in every aspect of your life. That's so powerful. And I love how you brought that up because a couple of podcast episodes ago, I was just talking about that. Like, I feel like we're just so consuming, like we're in such a big consumption. Like, let me listen to the music, let me listen to the podcast, let me turn on the radio, let me watch the news. And when are we having time to just be and for stillness and to allow ourselves to be with ourselves? Because we have that inner wisdom, like you're saying. And if we just listen, we'll have those answers.
Yeah, and we have to almost learn how to listen because we haven't been taught like the Nike slogan, just do it, like push yourself hard, work hard, play hard. Like that doesn't take into account what our body is doing. So we have to be able to take a step back and learn to actually how to listen to our body. And even with this example of mindful eating, I had a client start a few weeks ago. And this is like the one principle we're working on, like 80% full. And like she has lost 1 to 2 pounds like each week just from doing this, like without following a diet, with like listening to her body, becoming aware of when that is. So it can be really powerful.
It's almost like we are unconditioning so much of the noise and things that we've consumed, to like bring it back to basics in a sense. So from like a psychological aspect now, we kind of took a holistic approach. So now like psychologically, how do you help with your clients like to have a positive relationship with food? So someone that may have had struggles with binge eating, emotional eating, eating disorders, or any sort of, negative relationship with food. How do you kind of rework that mindset?
It depends on the person, but we're so used to like, let's track our calories, or like, I ate this piece of cake. I'm gonna go outside for a walk or a run or burn it off. And we have to break down those patterns. And we also have to become aware of what emotions are going on. And that's different for everybody. So when I go to eat something, am I hungry and need to eat something, or am I actually stressed? Am I annoyed that my kids are bothering me right now? Or that I have to talk to this person. I know it's going to be a hard conversation and I am eating food to comfort myself. So it's a little bit different for everybody, but our body or our mind needs something. And we're used to going to the food for comfort, to soothe when we feel anxious, when we feel uncomfortable. And so what do we actually need instead? There's a need there that's not being met that we're trying to superficially meet with food. So we have to work through that and figure out what is that need. So sometimes you can do this through journaling or having a coach or somebody to help you really break this down, because that's why diets don't work. Like if you're emotionally eating when you get stressed out, you might be able to follow a diet for a month, 2 or 3, but then that ends and you're still stuck with this emotional eating that you're going to go back to. And sometimes it also relates back to childhood. Maybe you were like in the, you had a clean your plate club, or maybe you were like, didn't have a lot of money and food was scarce. And then so you feel like you have to save food, eat food, make sure that you eat enough each time you eat. So there's different things that can be driving different actions. I'm not sure, did that quite answer what you were
No, it
asking?
does. And I mean, there's not a black and white answer. I mean, nothing's ever cookie cutter. And you answered that beautifully because I'm just connecting so much of like the work that I do too. It's like getting to that root, getting to that root, not that superficial layer, and really identifying emotions, allowing yourself to be with your emotions and feelings, and pull them out from under the rug, let it be if they're so compounded within you. Because a lot of times I feel that we have fear, and let it be the fear of vulnerability, whatever that is, that we don't do that, to be able to accept ourselves for all of ourselves to get to those root.
Yeah, and it's amazing, like as I'm talking to people, and just as sometimes as you talk to someone, you'll say more things out loud. Someone today was like, yeah, I realize like I have a fear of not eating enough at a meal and being hungry an hour later. She's like, but logically, I know there's food all around me, but there's this deep-seated fear that keeps driving that. So we have to, like you said, give space to that fear. Let's talk about it. Like, what's under it? Let's go a little deeper, because otherwise, that's going to keep driving you. Like, that has been driving her for 30, 40 years. And we have to take care of that. And we have to give it space. And I'm sure, would you talk with people too? Like, emotions are hard. And the negative emotions, I'm using air quotes, don't feel good. They don't feel good. So that's why we try to stuff them down. We stuff it with food. Or we distract ourselves or do something else. But when we can give a little space to that and we know that that's okay, things move a lot freer.
Exactly. And you start to like chisel out that, rock that you created, or that compounded feeling or emotion within you. I don't know how I overcame this, because I struggled with an eating disorder when I'm feeling called to tell you this right now. When I was in college. So this was 20-ish, no, 15 years ago. And it was nothing to do with food. Like what everything that you just said kind of just sparked that within me, because I felt like the only thing that I had control over within my life at that moment. Because I was far away from home. I was very much a homebody. You know, struggling in a really, I went for a degree in the health and sciences for oncology, so a very demanding healthcare degree. And it was just like I felt very out of my body, very out of tune, and like the gym, so like the binge exercise eating, you know, I just fell into that very low self-worth, self-control, and that was like the one thing that I felt that I had control over. And that lasted a couple of years within my college experience. And like when I said, like, I don't know how I overcame that, because like being in those 20-year-old years of your life, like you still don't know who you are, you know.
And a lot of people with eating disorders, it is about control because it is something you can control when everything else feels uncontrollable. And I don't know about you, but when I was in college and even after that, like I didn't have much emotional intelligence. Like my mom taught me to have PMA was her slogan, a positive mental attitude. Like, so any anxiety or negative emotion, I was taught to stuff. So then you're let out into the world in college and you have all this and there's so much and you really haven't, I didn't learn like that emotional, how to handle that. I mean, I slowly have over the years and I feel like I'm still learning, but it's definitely that missing piece that drives a lot of the things we don't like that's going on in our lives.
Totally. And I don't mean to bring up parenting now, but now I'm like thinking of your kids, you're like, oh, I hope that I'm okay. Because same type of thing, you know, like you know now, but it's like you want to just hold them in your little bubble so they don't have the same struggles that
Yeah, we joke. So my
you
youngest is six, my oldest is 16. And by this last one, I have taught him much more emotions. Like he'll cry easier, but like in a good way. Like I'm
did.
really sad about that. We're like, okay, we nailed it by the fourth kid with emotions a little bit. But we still teach all of them. But yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, totally. Okay, reeling that back in. So, okay, speaking of like nourishing our bodies, you know, like mindfulness, nourishing our bodies, what does that mean like on a deeper level of, let's be like internal aspects of total whole well-being? So how does that kind of correlate your nutrition with your whole well-being? Kind of have like a mind body.
I mean, what we're putting into our body matters a lot how our body feels. And it goes back to that idea of being able to tune into your body and what does it actually need? And it comes back also, I think, to this first spot of being able to put yourself first and prioritize your health. Because a lot of moms, we just aren't doing that. You know, our kids are important, our families, our jobs, all these other things are, and we put ourselves on the back burner. So first we have to put ourselves into this place of prioritizing ourselves. And then what does that look like to nourish your body? And you probably need some stillness, some quietness, maybe journaling or talking to someone else. What would that first thing be to nourish your body? Is that getting a good breakfast? Is that maybe cutting out some or all the sugar? Is that getting more vegetables in? You know, you can start with a simple meal. Like, I know I could have a better lunch and I'm going to prep my lunches for the week because I know that that's going to nourish our body. Like, our body, we're actually very undernourished in America. So we have way too many calories. So we're getting calories, but our bodies and those micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, and plants. We're very deficient in, and our body is craving that. And so, how can we actually start to eat in a way that's going to fuel our body well? And there's different ways to eat. Like we eat for celebration, we eat mindlessly, we eat because of stress. But most of the time, we need to eat in a place that is nourishing and fueling our body. We need food, we need calories. They're not bad. Fat is not bad. Carbs are not bad. None of them are bad. We need those. Some people might need more or less of different ones, but we have to come back to a place where we can eat that and we can enjoy it and be grateful and be grateful for our bodies. Like, how many of us look at our bodies and we're grateful for it? Like, no matter what it looks like or what it feels like or where we want to be, can we be grateful that we have feet that got us up to walk today, that held our kids? Like, taking time to really be grateful for our body so then we can come into a place of wanting to nourish it.
I just did a meditation on like welcoming all parts of you, not even like the ones that maybe you're not ready to be with yet, but like you're still welcoming, you know, them within you. And that's just such a big, oh, I just like had that moment as you were saying that, because that's so powerful. Are there any other ways, like how you can help guide women to connect with their bodies, on that level, to kind of understand that importance of, let it be that self-love or just that inner nourishment?
Yeah, I think one great tool is meditation because when we do sort of get quiet, we can actually start to tune into what our body needs. So, whether that's meditation or even just deep breathing, like deep breathing is so powerful. It brings on our calming nervous system, our parasympathetic nervous system. So, when we can take some deep breaths, slowing down that exhale, then we're able to like think better. This works for our kids too. Like if we can actually get them to take some
I
deep
know.
breaths. Yeah. I like to say we put our thinking brain back on, but it works for us. We need to calm our minds down so we can start to become aware of what we actually need because it's different for everybody. And we also want to think like, what are we willing and able to do right now? Because maybe you want to do something like maybe you want to eat a salad a day, but that's like it's winter, that doesn't feel good right now. You're not going to do it. Like,
I want
let's
the
pick
crock
something
pot.
up. Yeah. So, thinking about what you're willing and able to do and what your body needs, but having that time to sit with it, whether that's meditation, that deep breathing, journaling can be great, talking to a friend, obviously, getting a coach will help too because they'll be able to guide you. But you have to create that time and space for it. And I think a lot of times we avoid those things that seem vague, unclear, or take more time. Like, I don't know what I'm journaling about, or I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this isn't working. But that's where the work comes, and it will then be more revealed. And as you start to see a little bit of success, being able to tune into your body, then it will be a snowball effect.
Totally. You hit the nail on the head, like that starting point. Anything, it's always the hardest because where the discomfort comes in, where the fear comes in, like all those what ifs come in, but then also like the how do I do it? So that starting point is always so hard. And I don't want to bring up the Nike slogan again because I feel like it's a lot different than where we're going right now, but like that kind of just starting motion is very helpful.
Yeah, one step forward.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just take that first step. So what other kind of practical examples of let it be lifestyle changes that you could help women or your clients work through to kind of help them be advocates to kind of take control of their health goals, of their lifestyle?
Yeah, I think some people you need to be able to sit down and figure out for yourself what is that you need. Is that a daily walk? Is that 30 minutes quiet time in the morning? Is that something in the evening? I sort of have time in the morning and the evening. And then if you're married or you have someone else or it's your kids, setting up that boundary with people around you. Because a lot of times we don't have a boundary, but then we're getting frustrated because we're not taking that time to take care of ourselves. So it's a boundary we never created, we're getting upset about that's being crossed. So take that time, like, what do I really need? And then talk with those people around you about what that boundary is you need to do that so that you actually start making that time. And then you have that accountability from those people that you have shared it with too.
So kind of taking one step further, how can you help them kind of identify and prioritize, what matters to their well-being? Of course, we're all different, but kind of helping them get to those core beliefs, values, priorities.
Yeah, like you said, it will be different for everybody. And I think as you listen to podcasts or you hear different ideas, write ideas down. I like to call it like a brain dump list. Like specifically when it comes to health, you're like, maybe I want to drink more water, I want to cut out sugary drinks, have less caffeine, I want to strength train, I want to do yoga, I want to go on walks. The list can go on. So have a brain dump. And then really start with just one or two things at the time and being able to prioritize. What am I actually going to do? And then what can I do 80 to 90% of the time? Because we want to create success. Because if we pick something out that we're not successful with, it sets us up for failure because then we don't feel good about ourselves. So what can I do 80 to 90% of the time and stay consistent with, create some success and feel good about it? So really looking at different areas of your life. So maybe that is something with your nutrition. Maybe it's something with your movement or exercise. Maybe it's working through your emotions and doing more journaling or tapping or however you want to work through your emotions. Maybe it is like setting up those boundaries. So really figuring out that piece or that area that you need to work on, because a lot of times we get overwhelmed and then we don't do anything. So we got to like rein it back. We can have our big list of things we want to do, but really pick one area to start in that's going to make that difference and that you're actually ready to make some changes there. And then I think check in each week too, because a lot of times we don't check back in and know that I might need to tweak this. I might need to change this. I might need to, this isn't working right now. I'm going to move on to this different piece. We got to be able to check back in with ourselves weekly or even daily.
That's really beautiful, and I feel like that's so important, and not biting off too much as to where we, we can't chew it. I feel like you have a really great perspective, kind of just on like the balance aspect, right? Of, not making things restrictive and really tuning into you and listening to you and what you need. Are there any other kind of methods or approaches that you help to really harness to keep, that balance to help them kind of have sustainability and longevity in their wellness goals?
Yeah, I think it's getting away from that all or nothing mindset too. So a lot of times people, they start something and if a day goes bad, they then give up. Like when we're talking long-term health, we have a day that goes bad, we regroup, we figure out, is there anything I should have done differently so I can take that information forward, and we get back to it. So when we're thinking of long-term health, we have to really drop that all or nothing mindset and figure out what the next best thing is. And I always like to tell people, like, health is a journey. So this could be physical health, mental health, whatever it is, it's a journey. So we're gonna have this starting point. Like 15 years ago, I was drinking diet soda pop and thinking that was a good thing. Like, I don't drink it anymore, but that was a good point for me then. Like, and so we just go along this journey and we might do things a little bit better or maybe healthier and improve on different things along the way. And that's okay, but we're not going to be at the same starting point. Our points are going to look different. Doing at different points will be really good, even if it's not, like, air quotes, the best thing we could be doing right now. We have to get rid of that and what is best for us right now.
Totally. It's always like that constant growth, evolution, expansion, with we could always look like back, 5, 10 years, what you said. And it's just, you didn't know what you didn't know and things like that. And there, you're always growing, you're always evolving. So that's really well said. Okay, last question. And I started asking everyone on my show that comes on. And I love just kind of how open-ended this is. So it's totally putting you on the spot here. But kind of thinking of kind of the decisions that you made, kind of the path, your life path that brought you here where you are today, can you discern between like when you kind of listened to your heart, your inner wisdom versus maybe your ego or society or other pressures, and kind of how that has helped shape your path?
Like, just in a general sense, I feel like that's still something I'm working on.
We
But
all
I,
are.
yeah, like, and I just feel like I am now 41, but I feel like as I keep looking back at things, like how out of touch I really was and was just doing things because I thought I should, or that would make my mom happy or like someone else happy. And a little bit of like that people pleaser. And it's funny, like, so my husband's in the military and he just had like some fancy ball thing, but I do not like getting dressed up nor being around a bunch of people. I don't know. Like, my husband is not good at introducing me. Like, it all just sounds terrible. And like, I didn't go and I was okay with that. And people asked him, like, oh, where's your wife? We haven't met her yet. Like, and he said, whatever, she doesn't like formal things. But it was really being able to stand and like, I really don't like this. And like, it really doesn't matter if I don't go, but being able to stand in like that truth and be okay with that versus like 10, 15 years, I would go because I felt like I had to. So that's like one example where really stepping into what I need, what I know about myself, and really honoring that part too.
Honoring. Oh, that's it. Because so often we do silence ourselves to be able to please others or think what we should be doing, even though, like, your heart's saying no. So yeah, I just love asking that question because I mean it helps, just connect a little deeper too, but also I just love hearing, stories and just that relatability piece because we all are human. And like what you said, like you're still working on it and we all are. But it's just so beautiful kind of once we come back home to ourselves and really kind of connect more and more and more. And again, it's all that growth and evolution. But when we truly do feel like ourselves, and it's something that it's ebbs and flows and roller coasters, and we do feel disconnected and things. But thank you for sharing that. So yeah, tell us kind of what services do you offer? Where can we find you? And yeah.
Definitely check out my podcast, Healthy Beyond 40. Different episodes about nutrition, mindful eating, sugar cravings, exercise. And I do personal training and health coaching online with women, really taking this approach that we've been talking about, very mindful, sustainable, a habits-based approach, so that they can actually start staying consistent and really feeling good about themselves.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for being here with us today. You shared so much wisdom and just, I feel like a weight lifted because just diets and, our weight, the other definition of weights, like I just feel like it is very much a taboo subject, but you just presented it very gracefully. And it was just a beautiful, I feel like, conversation that just lifted some weight in that sense of being mindful and listening to you and not making it some just stigma, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so many people, when I talk to them, it's like they want to stop dieting, but they don't know what to do. Like it just literally feels impossible to them. How do I actually lose weight or get healthy if I'm not following X plan? But you can, and lots
Exactly.
of people do it.
Exactly. And it's allowing them space too. Like as you're working with clients, allowing them space to open up and listen to themselves first, versus, being told XYZ. I know we always kind of want that black and white answer, but there isn't one. And I feel like that's such a hard part, like in our fields, of work, because it's like I could give you tools and help you on the path. I'm here for that. But it's also, it takes that work too to be able to connect with yourself and what you need. Well, thank you so much again for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, and I'll jot down everything in the show notes, everything that you discussed. I'll link your podcast, your website, and everything will be in the show notes. So thank you again. And until next week, my mamas, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to learn your energy of alignment and deepen your relationship within. We're sending our love and light. Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mama the podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling, to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.